Pints and Vibes Podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. Pints and Vibes Podcast. Pints and Vibes.
You know it's all about the pod. Pints and Vibes, baby. Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm the Dan of the year, Danielle Radford. That's true. I am the only Dan. And I'm joined today by my fellow member of the Nation of Conversation, Kelk Knowledge Her, Lindsay Kelk.
I like it because it works on many levels. You know, it implies I have knowledge, which is objectively true.
I'm not classifying
what kind of knowledge.
Look, you're British. You sound smart.
Right? That's all it takes sometimes. That's all it takes.
Welcome to America, where if you have an accent, you just sound smarter than us.
Sometimes I put my glasses on and it just blows people.
All right, so we were off last week. Kelk, what were you up to? Did you get to watch New Day versus Bloodline or Daniel Bryan Danielson versus Kenny?
I did. I watched some wrestling. I didn't watch all the wrestling. The G1 has started.
I know. Tell me all about the G1.
Yes,
please,
it's
please,
G1
please.
Season. So I haven't watched as much of it as I would like because I have been very busy. You guys, we do other stuff.
Normally, you mainline G1 and you are like number one source of G1.
Well, and I've been really lucky the last couple of years. Obviously, last year was a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the year before that, I was in the UK when it was on, so I could watch it real time, which was just magical because I could get up in the morning and put it on and go about my business. This year, obviously, I'm watching it the morning after it happens the night before because mm-hmm. of time. Time's so weird, you guys. I know I've been in my house for 18 months now, but time is so weird.
We just made it up. I saw a great tweet where someone was like, we all just decide it's Tuesday. No one's keeping track.
I fully think someone's smoking like a ton of weed somewhere near my house because I keep finding myself sat on the couch being like, but who decides it's a week? Who said it was 7 days?
And Who said anything about daylight savings time? We just all agree that we're going to get an hour or lose an hour.
Something to do with the moon. And then I realize I need to go about my day and watch more G1. So I have dipped in. I'm popping in and out. My Elvin Prince is not faring well. So that was rough for me. He has lost 2 matches. Which is too many for my liking.
Why is he losing matches? He's fucking Kota. Okay, whatever.
I know. He should always be able to win. Naito's out with a broken leg.
Shit.
It was a very nasty injury, courtesy of Mr. Zack Sabre Jr., who gave a fantastic post-match promo after one of his other matches, establishing that this is not a fucking tiddlywinks tournament. And I will never not love that man's promos. Never not love him. He's having a fantastic tournament.
God, I love him.
He's doing really, really great in A block. And predictably B block, you know, it's actually, I was going to say predictably, and it's not that predictably. It's a real mix. Okada's doing great, obviously. Mm-hmm. Tanahashi's doing pretty great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a nice mix. Jeff Cobb is having a good tournament. We're sort of getting near to the midway point. I just have a ton to watch over the next few days, which I'm excited about. And then next week, my schedule clears up and it's going to be all New Japan all the time, baby.
Baby.
But I am excited. And other than the G1... I did watch the Daniel Bryan Danielson Kenny match. I want to be like, oh my God, wasn't it so great? Because I thought it was good, but I didn't think it was as great as I wanted it to be. And I'm sad because I really thought this, I was like, this is it for me. This is my moment where I fully just like lean in. I've accepted AEW for what it is. I've stopped beating myself up for being fooled because we all get tricked by mean men.
And it's also, look, it's Trixie season. It's October. If there's ever a moment to be truly, like, look, it's Trixie season. We have to give AEW a break. Like, this is the season. The reason for the season is we all get tricked or treated. And I feel like they're treating us more than they're tricking us these days.
Yeah. They're that guy that you dated who turns around 6 months into the relationship, a year into the relationship, is like, I never lied to you. I always told you what this was. And then you're like, wait, no, you straight up did lie to me. You fully told me this was something else. But then by the end, they're like, look, it is what it is. And you either just say like, you know what? Yeah, it is what it is. Let's just continue as is. Or you say, I'm walking away from this toxic situation. I am a monster and therefore will stay forever and ever and ever, no matter how toxic.
Gaslight me, baby.
Yeah, AEW is my ex-boyfriend and it's gaslighting me all the way to the moon. And I'm into it, apparently. But yeah, I really thought this was going to be like my big pivotal, I can roll with this match. And then it was like, it was good, but it wasn't the best match I've ever seen from both of these men. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing with Kenny every week now, that I feel like, I don't know if I'm ever going to see Kenny Okada levels of Kenny again. I don't know if I ever will. And the problem is, I think when you've been that good, it's hard for me to accept that there's going to be slightly less good, which is still so good, but slightly less good.
Especially when you're young. I think it would be easier if it was like, you know, Kenny's like 50 now, like we can't accept, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think especially because he's still so young, and because part of it is like, are you so busy like running a company that you can't do the
it's
thing
confusing.
I like?
And this is it. I mean, they're both two of the best wrestlers of their generation, but yeah, they're not old, but they're also not getting younger. Nope. Daniel Bryan obviously played with injuries. It was a fun match. I enjoyed it. I thought the ending was kind of a sloppy miss. I felt like the ending was supposed to happen when Kenny was in the LaBelle lock. And instead it just happened while they were slapping each other. And I'm like, I could go back to the club now and see this. Because the clubs are open.
Yeah.
I want to see people just slapping each other. I can see that. But yeah, it was like, oh, and if he had one more minute, he definitely would have beaten Kenny. And I'm like, well, maybe if he'd had him in the lock, but they were just slapping each other. And that felt like a minor botch to me. But it's again, I love when I can hold things to such high standards that my criticisms are this minor.
It's so nitpicky. Like, literally,
yes, so nitpicky.
Any criticism I have of this match is so nitpicky. I really like one of my favorite matches of the year, easily one of my favorite matches mm-hmm. of the year. Like, I that's not even a question. I have the issues, sometimes the issues I have are like genuinely like deep, like, ooh. And this is literally like, we have a podcast where we got to talk about it, so I got to mention so I got to talk about like everything I feel about the match. But man, all of my critiques are nitpicky.
Everyone got red boobs, everyone took a slapping. Really enjoying Daniel Bryan's hair. That's great for me. And that's been a great heel move from Kenny, from my part. The ugly hair. Mean, ugly hair. It looks like he dipped his hair in an oil slick while he was beating a baby seal to death.
Oh, he's got heel hair. It's amazing. One thing I will say is, like, Daniel Bryan Danielson, I need you to stop being so excited that you get to say words you didn't get to say before. I just do. I need you. I get it. Daddy's away, the Danielson will play. I get it. But like
100%.
He is so excited to get to be like, shit, balls, bullshit, bullshit in the balls, shit, balls.
And you don't want shit in your balls. That's gross. Like, that's a bad thing.
It's like that pig with the shit on its balls. And it's like,
just so weird to me that there's so many people complain about WWE for being cheesy or character driven instead of wrestling driven and whatever, and then it's like all you wanted to do was come and shout balls on TV. And like, if that's all you wanted, that's what social media is for. Like, you had a whole ass reality show where you could have shouted balls all day. Like, that's all you wanted to do was just come away and call people a bitch. You could have just gone to ask Vince if you could call someone a bitch, and it turns out he would have let you, because he's doing that too now.
They
you
love get one bitch balls a show. There. Oh God, they love saying balls. And again,
oh
it's
my God,
like,
they love it.
Look, this is also very nitpicky. I'm just saying it because I think it's funny as shit. Like,
well,
it's
just very funny to me.
It's just funny. Like, this isn't one of those things where it's like a genuine like, fucking, because I saw a couple people be like, fucking, that's all you give us when you cut, and I'm like, fucking, who cares, man? But I do think it's funny.
I do get it. Like, you're the two of the greatest wrestlers of a generation, and they're just calling each other, no, you're a piece of shit. No, you're a piece of shit. No, you're a piece of shit. I'm like, just fucking wrestle. Like, please. Please. Slap his titties till they're red raw, and then get off the screen. I'm like, I do get it. But, I mean, it's very being the elite, right? To scream about balls and whatever. I'm fine. I'm ready for this to keep going, because I want to see more matches between these fellas.
Can't
and I'm really
wait.
Enjoying what we're doing with the elite, the super elite, and Christian. I think they're doing a really nice job of it. I've talked about this before. Like, my favorite parts of AEW are when I'm watching Super being the elite. And that's kind of what this feels like.
Agreed.
Now. And they're my favorite parts of the show. Because
being the elite should be on the TV and not on the YouTube.
Yeah. So I can take or leave your Cody's and your MJF's. And I've got more to talk about there if we want to, but like...
Well, look, I mean, I know like that we had like the AEW segment, but we're already talking about it, so fuck it, let's just keep going. Talking more about AEW, Lindsay, it's time for the hottest segment.
Oh, fuck.
In all of wrestling podcasting.
Balls! Balls!
Lindsay.
It's Lindsay No Balls.
What happened in the AEW women's division this week?
I had just one match. I don't fucking even know. I didn't watch it. I've kind of stopped watching the show, and I just watch the matches after the show now, so I don't have to watch the whole show. Because when I watch the whole show, I get mad inside. Mad, mad, mad. So, I read the recaps, and I watch the show, the matches that I want to watch, instead of having to upset myself, which is called self-care, people. It's called self-care. When I'm less busy, I will go back to torturing myself. But for now, yeah, there was one match. And, like, I'm into... the idea of having the Ty Conti, Anna Jay versus the Bunny.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that they call her the Bunny. I hate it so much.
I don't like it.
And it's so dumb. And Penelope Ford, because that's a storyline. We've been building a storyline. Mm-hmm. Well done. But it did. I don't know if it really paid off to anything. It was a very baby's first storyline. And I'm like, you know what? Baby steps, take it where you can get it. But it's like this mean girl tried to get another girl onto her team. That girl said no. So then they beat her up. So then she got a friend in, and then they beat each other up, and then the good people won. And that's great. That is definitely baby's first storyline. Good guys beat the bad guys. Everyone's gear looks the same and they're all hot and blonde. But, you know, baby steps. Baby steps.
That's my biggest critique, is that like I think that's across wrestling right now. All women's gear looks the same. And like, I love Mikazi. I blame you. Because Sasha's gear looked so goddamn good. And now everyone is... And then he started doing a bunch of gear for people. And now everyone is doing his style, which is like, fucking good for you, dude. Like,
I hope he's making a ton of money. Everyone loves that strap across the bot. Everyone loves that one strap that cuts across.
Yeah, it's very
strappy.
You can
even buy some Skims with that strap on it. And don't buy Skims, because don't put money into Kim Kardashian's pocket.
There
are even like bralettes, like outside of wrestling, with that one strap that goes across from shoulder across to boob. And I'm like, oh, I see the influence you have here. It's wild.
Yeah, no, it's wild. Like, good for you. But that I really liked. I really liked the match. I mean, obviously, I will always wish that there were more than a match. But
I would love more of them.
I would love more of them. I would love if you did this times three. That would be dope.
Yeah, and I'd love this to then go on somewhere else. I'd love now for Ty and Anna Jay to say, hey, we want a title shot, or we want women's tag belts. Oh, I just tickled myself imagining a second belt for women. But yeah, I mean, they're doing it. They're doing the thing. Sheeta's back next week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still hopeful. They've got Ruby, who is so good. I'm not enjoying what they're doing with the Ruby telling Britt she's only in a top position because of who she's sleeping with, because I'm like, she was here first. Why someone come out and tell Adam Cole that he only got the job because his missus is champion?
Thank you.
Like, immediately. I really don't like that, and I don't like that they doubled down on it, that they were like, yeah, we did this and we're just going to keep doing it. And it's like, no, she's better than this. Ruby is better than this.
Everyone is better than this.
I mean, I'd rather that than some of the other storylines that are going on right now. Like, do we need to talk about MJF Darby Allin rehashing the CM Punk Chris Jericho alcoholic feud?
No.
In an even more gross way?
No.
No, right?
No, we don't. But I do want to talk about, so they are doing, it looks like it's going to be an annual tribute, or they're really committed to doing these tributes to Brody Lee. Cried my fucking eyes out. So what did you think of all of the tributes from Brody's family, and then all the stuff about the Dark Order, like, throughout the night?
Yeah, I mean, I love it. He obviously is just someone who is so well respected and so well loved. I think whenever wrestling does a good job of honoring someone, let's applaud it. Let's say more of this, please. Just encourage it. I like that they're pulling in the storyline with Dark Order. I appreciate whenever I get to see those wacky guys on my TVs because I like them.
I do. I like them. Yeah, I wasn't sure about their wacky direction because I was very much like, I want this to be like Lucha Underground and I want them to be dark and spooky.
Yeah, but then you watch one episode of Being the Elite and you're like, wacky is where they're at.
Yeah, that's who they are. And you can't, and most people can't do that. So like, why not have the people that are good at it do it?
Exactly.
This was great. Big E has had some lovely tributes throughout the week. Yeah, it was great and I super cried. So
did you also cry when Arn Anderson said that he would blow a carjacker's brains out?
I don't understand.
Because I did. I cried. I don't. And it was not with joy.
A man jerks your door open, says, out of the car, I'm taking your car. You say, okay, take it. Just don't hurt me. Wow. You know what I do? I pull out the Glock, put it on his forehead, and spill his brains all over the concrete.
I don't understand. Take the Glock out? Who are you? Also, I am so sorry. I had to send this to the Tyson Fights group chat. If you watch that fucking video again, Cody is totally mouthing the promo as he's saying it. And it's driving me crazy.
I just fully had a vision of Arn Anderson pulling up to my local Vons. Just like with the Glock shoved in the front of his pants, of his slacks, just strolling through Vons. And I'm like, this is like just, it's peak. Right now, I think AEW is in such an interesting transitionary period because I think they're really leaning into what they're good at. They've acquired all this key talent who's really making them come to life in Daniel Bryan and Adam Cole particularly. I think CM Punk, I think, is another conversation we should have another time because, like, what the fuck is that guy there for? Just to take up 4 minutes at the beginning while he runs around the ring? Get the fuck out, Phil. But my issues with Philip aside.
He does like Bret Hart. He went off about how much he loves Bret Hart.
Good. He should. But I just think they're drawing a very clear line. It seems right now there is what's working and there is the stuff that they had at the beginning. And I think Cody suddenly feels, maybe it's not sudden, but to me, suddenly feels very out of place in his own promotion. Yeah. He feels like a throwback. This doesn't feel to me like what the rest of the show does. It's almost because it's too WWE. You know, like he's a shiny character who's clearly doing a promo. He's clearly reading his lines. The rest of the show feels so much more authentic. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that's good or bad, but it feels real more so. And he's coming out in his bright, colorful, elaborate costumes, reading promos with his sexy lady in a sexy outfit, like a magician's assistant. Right? And the neck tattoo forever. But it just feels really dated and weird. And that promo felt weird and his appearance felt weird and his overacting always feels weird. Cody and I feel like MJF as well, not to go into that because I did not like that promo. I do not like what they're doing with him right now. I'm glad Hal isn't here and I don't have to justify this. But it's like, I see MJF come on screen now and I'm like, no, thank you. Like, you're just going to say something really gross. And then where is your character development? You have been doing the same shtick now for 2 years. The exact same shtick for 2 years. And you haven't actually really achieved anything. And they just keep doing this to you, having you say horrible things.
It mostly works when he's dealing with a legend or with someone who is on a perceived higher level than him. When you're dealing with someone, it just feels like he's kicking a puppy. And I know he's a heel, and that's how we're supposed to feel. And like, they're setting Sammy up to be like the underdog. And like, but I think MJF, when he's doing his thing, he works his best when he's dealing with people who are on a perceived higher level than him.
It's beneath him as a clever heel to just go really personal and grow. I don't know. I really did not like it. And it just really made me sit back and be like, what is the plan for MJF? Where does he go from here? Like,
they just know that they like him. They don't know what to do with him. It's like when I got an air fryer. Like, I was really excited to get an air fryer. because everyone was like, it's like an easier way to like make frozen food. But you know what they put?
Make tater tots.
You know what they don't put on frozen food instructions? How to use a fucking air fryer with it. You know what my air fryer does? Sits there in the goddamn corner collecting dust. That's what
it does. I've got a website I'm going to send you, but it's a perfect analogy. It's like, yeah, you made tater tots because you were like, I loved these when I was a kid. This is great. And then after like the 10th time of having tater tots, you're like, maybe something different. And the air fryer said, no, nothing different. Just this. Just tater tots forever.
Just frozen food. And it's like, oh, well, I heard a rumor that I could make a salmon in that. I'm not putting a goddamn salmon in a goddamn air fryer. Like, are you high? Not here. Back in Seattle, I might have, because we had salmon to spare. But in Los Angeles, no, ma'am. No, ma'am. That's how I feel. But that's how I feel about MJF is like, they know they want to use him. They know he's really good. They don't have the instruction manual for how to set him into these feuds.
I guess if he goes into a program against Sammy, that will be interesting. Since I'm really curious to see what they're going to do with Miro now. I'm trying not to laugh.
Not for me. All right, so let's move on to WWE Extreme Rules. On Peacock. Was there anything from the Extreme Rules that you liked? I'm trying to remember.
I really enjoyed the whole thing.
Yeah, I liked it. I have a question. How many times has Sasha come back?
She's come back so many times. The official number is so many.
Okay.
I looked it up in an almanac. And it said so many times. All of the time.
It's like looking up the Rusev Day calendar. When is Sasha Banks?
She always comes back on Rusev Day. Yeah, she always comes back on Rusev Day. It's wild how that always happens. They usually fall on the same day. Sasha coming back day and Rusev Day.
It's amazing how that happens.
But I did like her hair, so that was good for
her
me.
Her hair is always like a plus.
Yeah, it was laid so flat today. It was like, oof, this is pretty.
So laid.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great. Obviously, I forever stand Bianca and Becky. I kind of like Becky chasing. I want Bianca to have her title back because Becky doesn't need it.
See, I feel that I love both of them. I love this story. I fell on the other side of that fence because I want Bianca to have the title, but I also want to see her chase for it. And I want to see Becky cheat and scheme to keep it because I feel like Bianca makes such a great pure heart chaser.
She really does.
Whereas Becky turns out makes a really good shitty heel who is entitled and feels like this is hers and no one else can have it. I will also now just, I mean, if I didn't stan Becky forever before, and then if I didn't stan her even more for that red fluffy coat that she wore.
Oh God,
The weak thumbs up that she gave to Sasha when Sasha got in the ring and beat on Bianca, I don't think I've ever laughed so hard at a wrestling match.
Yeah, it was pretty goddamn dope. I miss...
But Jesus Christ, these three women forever, please.
These three women forever. And also, I just... I don't know what we have to do. I don't want her to have to get busted in the face again. But I really miss when Becky was the most important wrestler in wrestling.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I love Roman.
Unfortunately,
I love all
Roman.
Of that stuff. I do. And I love that Roman. Look, I love Joe. I am very excited that he's like really getting like everything that he deserves right now. I really miss when a woman was the most important person in wrestling.
Do I need to set up a GoFundMe so we can all buy a Becky t-shirt on the same day?
Yes.
Because I think that's the only thing they pay attention to.
Yes.
Any money left over will go in Bianca t-shirts and then Sasha t-shirts.
Speaking of
and
things.
I think that's the system, right?
That you can buy.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte ripped up your favorite baby.
No. Oh, man. So many people. I read reviews. I've stopped reading a lot of reviews of wrestling because it's just, A, the journalism is often poor. I'm sorry. Like, sometimes the writing is very poor. I say that with love, but not really. It's constructive feedback to journalists. I am one of you. Do better. But a lot of them don't get paid, so fuck it. Why would you spell check? I saw people saying, oh, this was the worst match they'd ever seen. I'm like, that's harsh.
That's the worst match I've ever seen.
I watch AEW, so I've seen some worse women's matches on my television regularly. And also just on NXT recently, too, without wanting to get ahead of ourselves.
I'm sorry. There have been plenty of worse women's matches. I'm not gonna do like a top 10 countdown, but like, no. Come on.
Unless it's against Nia Jax, I don't know if Charlotte can have a bad match. So I refuse to entertain that this was bad because Alexa's good and Charlotte's good. I was wrong about Charlotte not being able to pull off a Dolly feud. I put my hands up. I said she couldn't do it. And I was wrong. Charlotte Flair pulled off a Dolly feud. Not only did she pull it off, she destroyed said Dolly. Gutted for Lily.
Yeah.
Although we had wondered how they would write Alexa off. And I guess they're going to write her off while she goes to sew herself a new Dolly. Because reports are she's off for sinus surgery, right?
As someone who had sinus surgery.
Same.
I have not. I should. Because oh, yeah, it's I like have. I had a tonsil. I had my tonsils Love taken it. Out, but I haven't had sinus surgery. Would you recommend it? Like a couple months feels right to you?
Yes. Yes. I had my sinus surgery last October and could not like touch my face for 2 weeks.
That.
And then my nose didn't feel like my own nose for like 8 months. It still feels weird when I touch it. The nerve endings still feel kind of weird.
It's all numb.
And as we
right?
know from coming back too soon, you end up in a second nose surgery, like Seamus, his second nose job.
They're not gonna cover that face with one of those fucking face.
No,
masks.
Exactly. They're not. Even though like Mandy Rose looked badass with that face.
God, she looks so
like,
badass.
Look great. But it's a beautiful nose and it must be protected at all costs. I would bring her back in the Rumble as like regular Alexa. I would
have
her be a Rumble surprise.
I think that this gimmick done run its course.
Yeah. And I enjoyed it for what it was. They were dealt a hand, you know, they'd pulled her into the Bray thing. That ended because, you know, for whatever reason, we still don't fully know. I don't think a full explanation or interview from him directly has come out, but why he felt he needed to leave. And Alexa was given this, and she did a great job with it. I thought she was the right performer to do it.
The only performer that could do it.
The only performer to do it.
And I mean on the whole roster. I don't mean like the only woman that could do it. She was the only person on the roster that could fucking do
absolutely. That. Absolutely. But yeah, I was ready for it to end. Yeah. I am really curious. The idea that we may be getting a Charlotte Shayna feud gets me very excited.
Give it to
very
me.
Very excited.
Also,
yes, please.
We got to talk because our favorite dick pointy man came back.
Yeah.
As the demon.
Pointed that dick all over the town.
Oh, he pointed it all over. I just, look. Y'all know how I feel. I thought that heartbeat shit was so good, but I think that if he's going to do it, you can't do it and have him fucking lose. And since he had to lose this match, you don't pull that cord during this fucking match.
The weirdness to me, and again, I love to Papa Howl. I was relieved he wasn't here because he would just be screaming about the demon right now. Screaming. And I don't feel as angry about the demon as Hal does. Like, I've never considered it a completely separate character. I always think of it more as, like, the darkness Finn draws on when he needs something, right? And I mean, maybe, and again, this is, it's the same problem we've talked about over on the other place, is I know the demon from before times. I know when Finn used to come out in body paint in New Japan, and it wasn't sold as such a separate thing. It was just like, oh, he's in the body paint this time. This is a for real, like, demon-y thing.
He fucking means it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it means.
To me, that's what it means.
He fucking means it.
Yes. And that's why I don't really care about it not having a different moveset or anything, because that to me would push it into too cartoony. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Finn is a cartoony wrestler. I think he is, you know, not necessarily for the children. Maybe he isn't Wu-Tang. Maybe he's for me.
I also think that Venom is coming out, and like that's why they were like, it's time for the demon.
Oh, let's please do an extra episode where Danielle and I just talk about hair pieces in the Venom universe.
Jesus fucking Christ.
That's all I want to talk about. I prefer non-demon Finn because I get to see his pretty face. And I don't like the headdress, although I did like the spiky bits.
Don't like the headdress.
I did like the heartbeat. When he started doing the heartbeat thing with the lights, I fully sat up in my chair and was like, oh, we're doing this.
Yeah.
Got really giddy. And then when they cut that fucking rope, I lost my shit.
I was so angry.
I was worried about him breaking his little legs.
Because
he's not a stuntman. He might be a fantastic athlete, but he's not a fucking stuntman. And why did they not just cut to a reveal that Heyman did it? Or that the Usos did it? Or that someone fucking did it? Because it makes no sense that they're just like, Jesus did it. Like, what? I know he put a mask on. I know Roman put a mask on, which was a magical face turn in the middle of this match to put a mask on to go and like wrestle in the crowd. I was like, yes, sir.
Yeah,
more of this,
dope.
Please.
Yeah. You are immunocompromised, my dude. Please wear a mask.
Yeah, it's like Jesus saw that and was like, oh, that's important. It's important that he does that. That's good. Let's give him the W here. Let's jump in and drop that rope on his behalf. We haven't seen SmackDown yet because we're recording this before SmackDown airs.
As always.
There better be a fucking explanation and not just, oh, I don't know what happened, man. The rope just snapped because someone up there likes me. And it's like, no. Bad dog, no. Absolutely not. Not big
God,
dog, bad dog.
God acknowledged him.
God acknowledged him. If that is the route they take with this, I mean, I'll do nothing.
I'm sorry. I just thought of that song From a Distance. I'm like, God acknowledged us.
From a distance. With the Usos on the background, just swaying from side to side. While Heyman preaches.
Give me my bet.
It would just be magical. It would be magical. But yeah, that, I really enjoyed the match. And genuinely, like the last 10 minutes, I was like, oh my God, I don't know who's going to win. He's having so it's so great. And when he did the heartbeat thing and came back fully charged,
I
beat
fully
the shit
thought
out of everyone,
win,
like, give me all of this.
To, yeah.
Right? I was like, this is amazing. All they had to do to save it was have an explanation for why that rope snapped there and then. Mm, but yeah, I mean, overall, thought it was fun. Give me New Day all day long. Give me New Day beating up Bobby Lashley and his buddies in any
that
way
was
it comes.
So dope.
All day long.
Yes,
all day
please.
Long.
Yes, Big E all day, every day, retained against Lashley in a steel cage, which again, not my favorite matches, but oh, it was so good. The Hurt Business.
It was great. It needed to be. It needed to be brutal, and it needed to be just the two of them. And I appreciated the steel cage in that instance. I just wanted to see Big E murder a person to say, this is my belt now. This is my belt now. And he did.
All right. If you have any thoughts on the week of wrestling, you've got a whole bunch of people to talk about them with in our Facebook group. Plus, you can hear more of what we had to say on Twitter, Instagram, and Discord. Why did I do that with my voice? Who cares? Links to all of that are in our show notes. When we come back, we're talking all about what we think about NXT 2.0 up next on Tides and Fights.
Hi, I'm Joe Firestone.
And I'm Manolo Moreno.
And we host After Game Show, a podcast where listeners submit games and we play them regardless of quality with a dozen listeners from around the world.
We've had folks call in from as far as Sweden, South Africa, and the Philippines.
Here's an example. Yesterdog, where players must sing a Beatles song but throw in the word dog and dog-related terms. Like, do you have an example, Manolo?
Yeah. Hey, dog. Dog, 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 bone.
Oh, okay. Dr. Game Show has new episodes every other Wednesday on Maximum Fun. Check us out.
Check us out.
Nice.
Tides and Bites Podcast. Tides and Bites.
Welcome back to Tides and Fights. I'm Danielle Radford, and I'm joined today by
Lindsay Kell.
Yes. We both put on our sexy voices. Did you hear that? Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Danielle Radford. I'm joined today by
Lindsay Kelk.
Oh, ASMR for your motherfucking ears.
Did you like, did you do, I noticed. Yeah. Right. Let's get those kicking curves in.
It's gorgeous.
Kelk.
Those beautiful fucking K's. It's time to give one corner of the wrestling world some extra attention. And this is our main event.
Let's get ready to rock.
I'm
home. Whoa. Holy shit.
WWE Dynamite.
I hate ducks.
And a hard-fought victory.
Bye, pal.
Yes! Hard-fought got in there. Oh, my God. I'm so excited. I just blew out the fucking speakers. I'm so sorry for headphone users.
Holy shit.
Yes. I've been fighting for hard fart. I'm so excited. All right. So, Kelky Kelk, we're 3 weeks into the new NXT, NXT 2.0, which still feels very much like something that you would name in like 2010. Yep. But it's fine. It's fine. So we've talked about the colors, the lighting, some new faces, and now we're going to talk about like some ideas about where the brand is going to be heading going forward. So let's start with this week's show. What were you into this week?
I'm just glad they didn't call it NXT The New Generation, because you know that was mooted. You know they were like, what about the next gen? And they're like, no, it's
already
2021.
It's already NXT. You can't.
Yeah, what about NXT TikTok?
That's the thing. It's like, it's already NXT. Why would you add the 2.0? Next 2.0? What does that even mean? Like, at this
and
point,
are we getting
like, 2.1? Yeah, we're folding into ourselves.
If you put a point, it implies that there will be increments of less than a one to go up. Are we, like, when my OS updates itself every fucking minute and makes my phone not work, and it's like 12.1, 12.2. Are we getting 2.2?
Oh, 2.4? We definitely are. Well, see, NXT 2.1 or 2.0 launched with some security holes, and so now they've got to patch those, and along with that, you're getting new emojis. So
yeah, but 2.1 also drains your battery life way faster.
Oh, like crazy. Don't forget, and this is actually a real tip, which I did not know, if you are using the battery saver mode, do not charge it while you're doing it, because it starts to, like, it makes your battery less. So you learn things on your tights and
fights. You learn things. Welcome to Tights and Fights. The more you know.
Rainbows.
Yay. Oh, rainbows forever. Speaking of rainbows, NXT 2.0. So I did not care for the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
We discussed the lighting and the new peoples
and the knees.
Like, what is this? And the knees. And then last week, I did not feel better about it, to the point where my poor husband, who obviously I dragged into this nightmarish fandom.
Yeah, you did.
Literally sat up at the end of the show and said, I don't think I want to watch wrestling anymore. And it was so sad. It
Jeff,
was like,
no.
Right? Because we took away the thing he likes. They took it away. The thing he liked was NXT. And they took his thing away.
Boo.
It was like telling Tiny Tim it, in fact, was not Christmas. And he could not have any goose. It was like, no, it's gone now. The goose is gone. You missed your fucking chance on the goose. You had your goose and now the goose is gone. Now it's nut roast. And it's dry nut roast from the 80s. It's not like good current nut roast. It's like the only nut roast they had when there was only one vegetarian option back in the day.
Is that what happened to Tiny Tim? Because we all act like we read Dickens, but none of us have ever read Dickens. Well, we like, only know it from parodies from like
We
the
don't
Simpsons.
Know what happened to him like after Christmas Day. Because on Christmas Day, he got to come in and eat the goose and everyone looked after him. But I mean, that kid was on crutches back in like the 19th century and he was not well, and his nickname was Tiny Tim. So I think we can all like realistically surmise that things didn't work out well for Tim in the long run.
Yeah, he's not getting goose every fucking day.
No, exactly. It's not like Scrooge was like, you know what, I've turned over such a new leaf, let me take you and make you my ward and give you all my money and get you the best medical care, get you the best leeches money can buy.
Life is like a hurricane, here's some leeches.
Yeah, he got one day's dinner. And we all know Scrooge did not keep that shit up. Who here has had a family member say some things after a near-death experience? And who here had that family member follow through? I feel like the NXT locker room might be going through this right now. They're like, Hunter's been poorly, but he says when he comes back, things are going to be different.
Everything's going to be different when Papa Hunter comes back.
Yeah, everything will be better when Papa Hunter comes
Goose
back.
Goose for everyone!
Goose for all. Goose for all, except all the people who aren't on TV anymore. Because they're really trying to shove these new people down our throat, Danielle. They really want to. And I don't know. I don't know. I really, the things I enjoyed, I'm going to like lean into the good stuff.
Give it to me.
Really loving Electra Lopez.
I
think she adds something really great to them. Yeah, she adds something so fun and fresh to La Legado. I love that they treat her, that the dudes in the faction treat her as like a fucking badass, that they're like, this is our missing piece, this is the fucking winner, this is what we needed.
Also, like, I'm gonna fucking say it, you know how I feel, I love a faction that's like a factiony faction that includes everyone who could go for every title. That's what factions should fucking be.
Yes,
also
please.
I'm sorry, dark skin Latina, obviously I'm gonna fucking pop for that.
I mean, she's beautiful, that doesn't hurt that she's absolutely beautiful. I'm like, I just want to look at her face, it's such a good face,
work of fucking art,
but super fun. And I know like her wrestling still has somewhere to go. Mm-hmm. That was the weird thing about 2.0 to me. It feels like we've taken a step back into developmental, talent-wise, yes, skill-wise.
Which I'm okay with. Yeah, I'm not going to lie.
I'm okay with
like,
it.
Like, I'm okay with it. It just seems weird that they're spending money on all the bells and whistles and then it's, yes, still like so development-y.
But, and like, why make it so bright and look at me when you've taken the technical skills and the in-ring and the promo. Like, you've taken all of the skills like 5 steps back, but you made it brighter, shinier. Look at me. I think the dark lighting and the black mat was more forgiving of people who aren't quite there yet.
And I'm like, look, I love, like, that was for me when I started watching NXT. It was very much that. It was very much like, mm-hmm, people learning how to do this, coming into their own. You get to watch stars rise. You get to watch people develop. Early Sasha Banks, you can watch her entire, yes, progression,
yes,
through everything. Same for Becky, same for Charlotte. You can
Becky
watch.
Becky used to do unicorn dances. Unicorns. Leprechaun.
She used to do leprechaun dances.
Leprechaun unicorn dances.
She used to fucking dress like steampunk. Like, there was a whole thing. Like, you know, they didn't have the good gear yet. Mikazi was not doing his straps.
No.
They, you know, Bailey, like, you could watch everyone go through their fucking paces. And so I do appreciate that, but I do agree. I think it's like weird to be like, we're going back to that era where people are really learning. But okay, so then, like, why does everything look like a Lisa Frank painting? Like, yeah, it's weird.
Truly. And it's just, it's very hard. And I get where Jeff came from. It's like, because I feel the same way to an extent, because the thing we loved is gone. Like, NXT is gone as we knew it. This is a whole new thing. And I don't like this. Right now, I don't like this thing as much as the other thing I liked. And you took that away. And we are humans. When you take away a thing we like and give us a new thing and we don't like it as much, we want that old thing back.
Want that old thing back.
Right? And they run a risk, I think, of losing some of the audience to AEW here. Because I think, I know, because I've seen it. Like, there's plenty of people who are going to say, what the fuck is this? I don't like this. AEW is closer to what the old version of this was.
Yep.
So maybe I'll just go hang out over there because I only have limited time. I get it. It's so hard. I think it was a huge risk to say we need to do better. We need to do more. I mean, one can only assume it was a business decision.
Yeah.
All decisions are business decisions in that company.
All of them.
Apart from the
They have shareholders. Like, it's a whole fucking thing.
They needed to get more viewers. That they moved it. They moved nights. They done all they could do, and then they were like, okay, so what else can we do? I guess we have to do a complete overhaul.
Mm-hmm.
They've spent a lot of money on this. This isn't cheap. This wasn't like a casual decision to completely overhaul a program, to kill a program and bring in a new one.
And it's also one of those things where it's like, we all heard that it was happening like 2 weeks before it was happening. This has obviously been in the, like, people don't understand how long it takes to do this
shit. Like that.
You can't build out a studio. You can't get, like, what is it? It's like a new theme song. Like, you can't
the graphic design,
all of these things in like 2 weeks. This has clearly been, I'm sorry, Papa Hunter was involved in the thing that you don't like. It's not that it's not that it was like, ooh, daddy's gone, it's time to be bad. Like, this was all happening while he was around, because this shit takes like at least 6 months.
I think this week was a little better than the first two. I felt like the lighting, maybe I'm just getting used to it. Maybe my eyes have just become desensitized to light. But it felt to me like it wasn't quite as bright.
Yeah,
like,
I'm not going to have a seizure. I think that they, like, I'm not going to have a seizure.
Maybe they turned it
anymore.
Down a little. I love that they leaned into the women this week. B-Fab and Elektra definitely have a ways to go in their technical skill, but the last 5 minutes of that match, they straight up tried to kill each other.
Oh, it was amazing.
They were like, oh, we don't know if we can be the two best technical wrestlers on this roster, but what we can do is murder each other to death with chairs.
Also, just the way that her faction fucking loves and supports her, like,
both of them.
Like, just like, when it's, they money, 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 money.
It's like, so hard for me to choose who I want to win out of this war because I have no dog in this fight. I love everyone.
I love everyone. Like, yeah.
I'm like, Hit Row is pretty great.
Hit Row is fucking
amazing. The Legato is pretty great.
And having them open a show is brilliant. Where are my ladies at? Right?
Oh my God, they had 8 people of color around the ring and a black referee.
What's that like?
And a woman on commentary. And I'm sat there losing my fucking mind. And it's like Raw opened with 2 black guys wrestling and ended with 2 black guys wrestling. SmackDown, I had Sasha.
I lost my entire dick. Oh, I lost my fucking
dicks
mind.
Dicks for everyone, because I don't have one anymore. I just can't believe what I'm seeing and it makes me so happy. But yeah, it's hard for me to know where I want this feud to go because I just like everyone and I'm enjoying watching everyone get better. And my favorite drum to beat, it's super feminist. They're not fighting over their fellas.
Nope.
They're not fighting because the boys are making them.
Nope.
They're fighting because they're part of this crew and they're pushing the women front and center because yep. They're like, pay attention to these bitches because they're fucking great. They have the support of their team. It's so wonderful. It's genuinely like heartening to see. It should be maybe like 2 badasses kicking each other's ass, but I'm like, you guys, it's all working together for the lady. I love this. It's really, really, really nice to see it. I want to keep seeing it.
Yeah, like this is one of those, like, it's, there have been a lot of changes, but it's also like I am enjoying watching people grow. Raquel Gonzalez getting to learn at the feet of fucking Frankie Monet. Right? Everyone in that locker room getting to learn at the fucking temple of Frankie Monet is going to make everyone better.
And she hasn't even brought the doggy in for ages. And the doggy was like, Jesus, she's still killing it without the doggy.
Yep.
Imagine backstage, the doggy is there also. Oh, I mean, it's just so exciting. It was such a good week for the women. Frankie, Raquel, I mean, it was too short. I want to see that go way longer. Yeah. I was kind of appalled when it started. I'm like, wait, there's only like 5 fucking minutes left. But that was great. I thought the EO Zoe Toxic Attraction. And Toxic Attraction is an absolutely ridiculous name. And I feel like they know it. And I feel like Toxic Attraction was where they like bargained down to.
I feel like someone just learned the word toxic, like the same way that when Tumblr first toxic. Learned the word toxic.
And they were almost certainly at one point in the promo room called cancelled. You know, they were throwing these rooms around. They're like, we're cancelled or toxic. Or like, what else is big with the kids right now? And it's like, no.
Or someone's just really into the Free Britney movie and was like,
so we're all into it. And you know Mandy is. But yeah,
congratulations,
I kind of was not into it at first, the whole Toxic Attraction thing, because they're so overdone. But I feel like this week I got my wish and Mandy brought Gigi and JC Joey Jojo Shabadoo. I really feel like Mandy brought them down by 50%. She's pulling them in and that's what they need. They need to be pulled in to be threatening.
I love that moment where she's like coaching them during the match.
Yes.
Also, what the fuck is happening with Mandy's hair and not the brown? I mean the gel.
If you're going to go wet look, it's got to go all back from the face. It's got to go fully back from the face. And it's got to be doused. It's got to be saturated. Go talk to Joe.
Yeah, she's doing a half Roman Reigns. And I'm like,
acknowledge Roman and ask him what gel he uses. Because if you're going to do that and it looks badass, but do it right. Because it just looks like you came out without drying your hair properly.
Yes, it looks like she's half-assing it. And I want her to full-ass the gel.
Oh, and the idea of a Mandy Rose Raquel Gonzalez feud, I am so not mad about it. People are like, no, it's bullshit. I'm like,
please. Fuck them.
Give me this. And how amazing is Raquel going to look that it's going to take 3 women? Because it will be the whole of Toxic Attraction. You know, she won't really just have to face Mandy. It will be like 3 of them. I'm like, yes, please. Give me this. It makes Raquel look like a superstar.
I can tell who's been paying attention because Mandy Rose is like not the Mandy Rose of 5 years ago.
No. Oh my God, no.
Mandy
Absolutely
Rose
not.
Has done the fucking work.
Yes. She has not been given a chance. Absolutely.
She can go.
Pull off this feud. She can absolutely go. Let's all remember that amazing match she had with Sonya Deville when Sonya had to leave.
Thank you.
Yes, please.
All right. So they're never going back to the old version of NXT. Like, that's not going to happen. We've lost it. I know.
Give
Jeff my condolences. So what are the things that are working for you now that they could double down on to, like, make work more? Oh, you're making a face.
I don't know. I know it's
this
hard.
Is one of those times when I wish that podcasts were visual.
Lizzie's sad face and a cat onesie. Okay, here's the thing. Anything I want to list about what I'm enjoying about it, none of it is new. The things I'm enjoying are the things that have carried over. I'm enjoying the way. I'm enjoying Johnny getting to do his shtick, which I love.
Wait for it. We'll talk about it in the three count.
Yeah. I love that they're keeping Candace on screen, even though she is with child. So I love that. I love MSK. I want to see more of them.
Hit Row.
I love Hit Row. I love that we see the diversity in NXT, the representation in NXT. I want to see the women all the time, which we do.
Which we do.
So many of them, please. The things I am not enjoying.
Mm-hmm.
Is the fact they decided the way to get people to love a new show was to just shove a bunch of new people down their throat all at once.
I don't know who anyone is anymore.
I don't know who anyone is.
It was one of those things where I was like, did I miss like 6 months of NXT?
Exactly. That's how it feels. That's how it feels. And it's not a difficult concept. The way you get a new person over, whether you want me to hate them or love them, if you want me to love them, you have them beat someone I hate.
Yeah.
Or you have them wrestle someone I hate. Mm-hmm. If you want me to hate them, you have them beat up someone I love. It's really easy. This has been done before. This is not news to you guys.
Huh.
Why are you just throwing a bunch of new folks at me all at once? All at once? Mm-hmm. And fighting people I don't really care about also? I'm just like, what the fuck is this? It's too many new people. It's too many new people.
Look, I know that I have brain damage, but I was definitely like, I didn't miss all of this, did I?
No. I mean, Bron Breakker, sure. The name is terrible. We all know the name is terrible.
Great
His name
promo.
Is Bron.
It's a terrible
great promo.
Fucking name. Great promo. I loved Gargano's
Lovely
response.
Little outfit.
Or Gargano. I love Ciampa's response.
Yeah.
He did a great promo. He will never not sound like a Steiner.
No. And he does the mad starry eye thing into the camera, and it's just like, it is what it is. So
he's a fucking
why
Steiner.
Wouldn't
we
lean
why
into
are
it?
We hiding?
Because when he goes up to the main roster, they're going to call him Bron Steiner. So I don't know. I don't know.
Every time he talks, I'm like, give me math. I want fractions.
Yeah.
Give me fucking fractions. Give me fucking fractions.
He will. He wants to.
I think
he wants to. But yeah, I like him. And I don't mind him being put straight in with Ciampa because I think mm-hmm. Ciampa's such a fucking gift. And again, we're on borrowed time with Ciampa. This is another man who has had that neck put back together multiple times.
Yeah.
And I love that what he's going to do here with his reign is like bring in this new guy. I love that that's what they're doing. That's
and I also
very pro.
I liked the thing where they were like, he is coming in hot on FaceTime. Like,
yeah.
Like, why not? Like, act like we're in the century that we're in, please.
Fine with it. The Von Wagner? Is that a name?
I don't
Von Wagner?
Know, man.
He looks tired. Like those black eyes, man. He looks tired. I'm not about that. And the motherfucker sat in the chair in the middle of the ring. Absolutely not. Send that one back. And when you send him back with all of the people who are doing skits and promos right now but are dead behind the eyes. Because it's a bunch of them. And if they can't sell it, in the eyes, they look like they're petrified. That guy that's teaching the class, whose name I can't remember because I can't remember anyone's fucking name, there's nothing behind the eyes. There's nothing there.
Mm-mm.
And you can't keep making me watch people who don't believe in what they're doing. Give me Lash Legend. Give me Wendy Williams of NXT 2.0. I'm very interested in that.
Well,
very interested in that.
That's just me. So you're already talking so much about NXT 2.0, so be sure to add your thoughts to our topic threads on Facebook, babies. Twitter, Instagram, all of those things. Discord, we're on everything. You can, like, look, wherever you can find people talking shit about wrestling, you can find fucking Tights and Fights. When we come back, we're going to talk about even more things you should know about in wrestling, and that's coming up on Tights and Fights.
Hey, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Thanks.
These are real podcast listeners, not actors. We took the identifying marks off this podcast. Just tell me your impressions.
It's really sexy.
My first thought is like Radiolab?
Definitely something popular. Yeah, really popular. A hit show.
But funny too. Like, does Tina Fey have a podcast?
Or the Marx Brothers?
Yeah, is this podcast Radiolab, but hosted by the Marx Brothers?
And sexy, like Sade? It reminds me of Sade.
Exactly. And they're all riding in a BMW.
Close, but not quite. Take a look behind these panels. And then watch this rocket blast off into space.
Whoa.
Ooh.
And there's the pies we made you. Now, let's show you the podcast.
Oh. Wow, it was Jordan, Jesse, Go.
Jordan, Jesse, Go?
Hold on.
Whoa.
Ooh.
Oh, my goodness.
That was 514 J.D. Power and Associates Podcasting Awards.
That was really scary.
But compelling.
I guess I should definitely subscribe to Jordan, Jesse, Go.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Jordan, Jesse, Go, a real podcast.
Dice and Bites Podcast. Dice and Bites.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Danielle Radford, and I am joined today by
Lindsay Kelk.
Yeah, I am. This week, we're going to end the show by sharing some of the joy of pro wrestling with y'all. This is the three count. All right. Normally I start, but I'm hosting today, so fuck that. Kelk, what would you like to share with the class?
So generous. You have such good manners. I'm so impressed.
I'm trying. Look, I'm taking some manners classes. I'm learning how to eat soup. We're going to get through this together. One of these days,
we're going to sit down and look at some cutlery together. That's what we're going to do.
Yes, I'm going to stop acting like a 12-year-old fucking boy. We're going to see.
Never. Speaking of people who act like 12-year-old boys, I would like to put over The Miz on Dancing with the Stars. You know what? I would just like to put over the fucking Miz, because that boy is working his ass off right now. He was on Celebrity Wheel of Fortune. He was on some Nickelodeon show. He's on Dancing with the Stars. He is killing it. I'm not a regular Dancing with the Stars viewer, but there's usually like one or two people each year that I'm interested in their Dancing with the Stars journey. Mm-hmm. And I do tend to keep more in touch with the UK version, which for some reason is just always funnier to me. Even though it's the exact same show made by the exact same company, the production values just seem a little bit lower, which makes it much funnier. Miz is killing it. Miz is trying so hard. And I think it's like an evolution of Miz that you see in this. Like, he's obviously very competitive. We know this about him as a human from his journey of how he came through reality TV and to wrestling and all the rest of it. But he really wants to do well. It's not just that he wants to win. He really wants to do well. And it's very sweet how hard he is working. I've seen some of the backstage videos. I have a friend that works the media beat on Dancing with the Stars and interviews him regularly for it. And he's like, oh my God, he just wants to make everyone proud. He's trying so hard. And his tango from this week to Ain't Nothing But a Good Time. Go check it out.
Pretty
he was
fucking
so good.
Dope.
So good. And he's doing really solid work on Instagram, on them Reels, on them TikToks. He's just doing some really beautiful work boosting the show. And just massive love for him. And I hope he goes really far, because he's genuinely working really, really hard. And then I just wanted to give a secondary shout out, because friends of mine, wrestle friends, are getting married today on Saturday. And I got them
love.
A cameo. I know, we love love. And they had to wait because of the Rona. And it's like, oh, it was a whole thing. But they're finally getting their wedding day. And I got them a cameo to make it extra special from one Mr. Mick Foley. And if anyone was thinking about getting a cameo from Mick Foley, you should just definitely do it, because he made it really, really special and really, really personal. And he sang them a song and it was beautiful. Thanks, Mick. And congrats to Kristen and Kevin, who are getting married today. Woo!
Oh, I love love so much. Speaking of loving love, I am putting over the fucking Index honeymoon. Oh, baby. Again, it's amazing. We got to see some great Candace and Johnny. Fucking Dexter putting Index in the sand with a heart on it. I lost my entire life. I am now going to die 3 years earlier, because I used it all up in the joy that I felt when he put that heart around the thing. Johnny as a goddamn shark. That's Johnny, right?
Yes, Johnny in the shark with the thing on his head.
Johnny as a shark, so that he would pick, so that fucking Dexter would pick up fucking Indy. All of it is
Johnny having flashbacks to his honeymoon, an actual wedding with Candace. That was intense.
Yeah, like it was all, it was so beautiful and it was so great. And like, I'm trying to figure out where they were. I think it's probably just Florida. Cause Florida has beaches, but, yeah, it was super cute and it was super great. And I'm so in love with the storyline. Do as much of it as you want. I will fucking take it. Before we move on to the end of the show, hey, Julian, you look at me.
Yo.
Like, look at me, unmute. Do you have anything you want to put over since we have some time?
Yeah. I was talking the other day with some of my other wrestling friends, talking to them about...
You don't have other wrestling friends.
Yeah, just a few.
We genuinely both took that very badly.
You should see our faces. We're very upset.
I was asking them about people that you used to like and people that you used to not like in wrestling and how they kind of flipped for you. My personal person that I dislike, that I used to really be in love with, and now I'm kind of not really sure where I feel about them is CM Punk. But the person that I used to really not care for whatsoever, and now I kind of feel like I really like him, is Sheamus. Because I just saw him do do the Jeff Hardy juke when he was on top rope, and it tickled me so much. So it made me go back and think about other matches that I really liked with the guy. And I remember one of my favorite matches that nobody really talks about that much was him versus the Big Show, of all people, for the World Heavyweight Championship at Hell in a Cell in 2012. And I remember my reaction to that was the same as you guys. Like, what the fuck? Why would anybody want to watch that? But it was actually very, very good. They went for about 20 minutes. They didn't do a ton of of over-the-top fighting, which I think made it stand out on Hell in a Cell of all pay-per-views. And it's especially when you get to the finish, it's really good drama. And it was probably the first time I remember thinking like, oh, maybe I don't have to hate Sheamus just because, you know, he beat Daniel Bryan in 16 seconds at WrestleMania and made me feel like this is why he personally was responsible for Daniel Bryan not getting pushed right away. So, you know, it's a really great, solid match. I would recommend it if you're looking for something to go watch.
Just perfect. Justice for Sheamus. Yeah. I do have to jump in. Of all the wrestlers I've interviewed, one of my absolute favorites was Sheamus and Cesaro together because they were just genuinely loving life. Like, they genuinely were so happy to be doing what they were doing, to be doing it together. It was like watching a friendship evolve in real time, just chatting with them. It was very, very lovely. And I've only ever heard fantastic things about him from people who have had interactions with him. Seems like a really good chap.
Yeah, and like, I liked that he got to be in fucking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And he's one of those people where it's like, he's not always setting my panties on fire in terms of like his in terms of like the matches he gets, but or his hair.
A stealth great, though. He's a stealth great.
He's a stealth great. Like, he is one of those people where it's like, I guarantee you that when because every wrestler is going to get like a fucking 5-minute thing where everyone gets to talk about how great they are. I guarantee you everyone in that locker room is going to be like, Sheamus was one of the best. Yeah. And he was one of our favorite people to work with.
Oh, good Hall of Fame lock for sure.
Hall of Fame lock. Good pull, Julian. All right. Well, that was it. Also, I didn't even know you put that in the script, Julian. So I can't believe that when I was like calling to you, you didn't even fucking look at me. Put it in the fucking script. I hadn't even read that far. I just wanted to ask you, since we don't have Hal, and you didn't even look at me. You put it in the script, and I didn't even.
I wonder
see it
if it's
now.
Sometimes putting too much pressure to just have somebody you can't hear staring at you the whole time. So I try to look away sometimes.
No, it's fine. Just fucking dig into my. All right, I'm doing Bernie Mac eye right now for everyone who can't see it. So that does it for this episode of Tights and Fights. This week, your hosts were Lindsay Kelk, along with me, Danielle Radford. Our producer, Julian Burrell, had fun in the Pacific Northwest this week. All right, I don't care. Where did you go?
Went to Portland. Portland,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you did. What did you do?
We went to Powell's. We went to Cannon Beach for a little bit to see where Twilight was filmed.
Yeah,
even
you guys.
I didn't know that until after we got
goddamn
there.
Goddamn right you did.
Let me know next time you're in LA, Julian, and I'm going to take you to Griffith Park where they filmed all the bits of them in olden days outfits.
Yeah, what else did we do down there? We went to on Danielle's recommendation, we went to Ground Control. That was a lot of fun.
Goddamn right you did.
Loved those trees. Loved, reminded me a whole lot of, I don't know if anybody's ever been to Tennessee. Reminded me a lot of that too, but more more metropolitan-ish, less bachelorette party version of Tennessee.
And now I'm homesick. Oh. A senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher, as always. Michael Eagle is the voice behind our theme music. We're always going to put him over for that. And keep up with us all week long on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Discord. Links to all of those are in our show notes. If you love what we do, please remember to hit them 5 stars on Apple Podcast and share us with all of your friends. Thank you so much to the Max Fun members who make the show possible. We legit like could not do this without you. So thank you so much for making this possible. And we will be back next week for more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Dice and Bites Podcast. Dice and Bites.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.